Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. That is the song of Zechariah, the aged father of John the Baptist. He's singing about a covenant kept, a promise made, and then eventually that son that he holds in his arms, John the Baptist, you, O child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High. That comes at the end of a long story, a very long story for Zacharias and Elizabeth, shorter by Luke's telling in the Gospel of Luke. And on this day, the church is remembering Zacharias and Elizabeth. Joining us to talk about him here in the second hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Peter Bender. A little bit later, we're going to play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Now, you can join us with a question or a comment, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment for our on-demand listeners at our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us, remember, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Pastor Peter Bender. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you today, Todd.
Why are these two, this husband and wife, aged couple, why are they given kind of pride of place, a place of honor, here at the beginning of Luke's gospel?
Because they're ordinary. There's nothing special about them whatsoever. In fact, I love how the scriptures are always making something out of nobodies, by the grace of God. And Elizabeth was barren, and that carried with it a certain stigma. And her husband, Zacharias, was of the tribe of Levi and the division of Abijah. He did serve whenever it was his turn in the temple liturgy. But other than that, there is nothing special about them, except that they're described as being both righteous, blameless, walking in the ordinances of the Lord, which means that they were a couple of humble faith in the Lord's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord's promises that would eventually result in the coming of the Messiah.
Now, we meet them, we actually meet them by way of, you know, introduction, that they are that they're old, that they have no children, and that Zacharias is, as you mentioned, of the priestly line, at least it seems, and is in the temple. He there in the temple encounters none other than the angel of the Lord, Gabriel. Gabriel says, "I've heard," or "the Lord has heard your prayer." What prayer is he talking about?
This is very important. I think it's greatly misunderstood and often not touched on in commentaries whatsoever. To understand the setting here, there's a number of factors. First of all, Luke is careful to describe them as righteous, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And he's really describing things that we have elsewhere in the Old Testament. To walk with God is a euphemism for faith. We hear it spoken of in terms of people like Enoch and Noah. And then ultimately, Abraham walks with the Lord, and he believed the Lord, Abraham did, the Lord's promise, and he was accounted righteous for it. So the righteousness and the blamelessness of Elizabeth and Zechariah is not that they had no sin, but that they walked by faith in the Lord's promises. Nevertheless, Elizabeth was barren, which was considered a reproach, and there was a stigma associated with it. So that's part of what Luke is doing, is saying even though Elizabeth was barren, these are still righteous people of faith. They were justified by faith in the promise. Secondly, the time of prayer daily for the Old Testament Israelites and coming into the time of the New Testament, it was twice daily prayer. It was very specific. The afternoon hour of incense is when the congregation would gather outside in the courtyard before the great altar of burnt sacrifice there. And then the priest, every day at that hour of incense, roughly about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, would take the hot coals, a shovel full of them, from that altar and bring them into the holy place and put them on the altar of incense. And there was a specific liturgy that would have been prayed. And that liturgy, every day, included, Todd, a confession of sins for himself as priest and for the people. And then the people would be praying, confessing their sins at the same time outside. So the priest is going through the liturgy of confession in the tabernacle, in the temple before the altar of incense, and the people are praying the same confession outside. And they're crying out for God's mercy, his forgiveness. And it also included a prayer for the coming of Messiah. And that pattern is of a long-standing pattern. And then the priest would then come out after the prayers were offered, and he would raise his hands in the Aaronic benediction, which was essentially an absolution. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so when the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah, he is in the midst of praying, confessing the sins of his people. He's praying the liturgy. He's calling upon the Lord for forgiveness and the sending forth of Messiah. He is not, as so many conclude, on the basis of the fact that it was mentioned that Elizabeth was barren. Well, he went bebopping up to the temple and said, "Jeepers, Lord, it would sure be nice if me and Elizabeth could have a baby." And then Gabriel appears and says, "Well, okay, the Lord has heard your prayer. You're going to get that baby." No, the prayer is the liturgy of Israel, praying for forgiveness and praying for the coming of Messiah. And the appearance of Gabriel also has an Old Testament connection, because I think one of the most faithful Christians in the Old Testament, and they were Christians too because their faith was in Christ, the Christ who was to come, was Daniel. And even though the temple had been destroyed and Daniel was carried away in the captivity, he continued the pattern of prayer, particularly the daily prayers in the morning and then at the hour of incense in the afternoon. And you have such an occasion in Daniel chapter 9. It says there, "While I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel," you see how it reflects what went on in that liturgy, "and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, stood before me." And so there's a sense in which Zechariah, as a priest, knowing the Old Testament, knowing the liturgy of Israel, seeing Gabriel there, this should have been for him like deja vu, We've been here before. The Old Testament prophet Daniel, when he was confessing his sins and the sins of his people, Gabriel appeared to him. And what did Gabriel announce? Gabriel announced the end of transgression in the coming of Messiah, who would be cut off in the midst of the week for the transgression of his people. So there's the connection with the Old Testament, which is what makes Zechariah's then unbelief, his doubt, so astounding, given the roots in the Old Testament revelation to Daniel, given what he was there as a priest praying for in the temple in the first place. It would be like you and I, Todd, as pastors, going through the liturgy of the church or the liturgy of the Lord's Supper, and the Lord has heard your prayer. Here is his body. Here is his blood. Well, I don't believe you. Well, then why are you praying the liturgy in the first place? Why are you taking up these promises of God and asking for his blessing if you do not believe it?
So to summarize that, Zechariah is there in his office as a priest.
Yes.
He is there beseeching God for the forgiveness of the people, and in addition to that, for the ultimate fulfillment of that forgiveness in the person of the Messiah coming.
Yes, that's right.
So Gabriel appears, that should have, as you said, set off alarm bells in Zechariah's mind, and saying, this must be something significant. In fact, I could probably think of a time when Gabriel appeared before. And Gabriel's response isn't, I've heard your prayer for a son or a child. It's, the Lord has heard your prayer for the Messiah, and here begins the fulfillment of the Messiah's coming.
Precisely. And not only is forgiveness now here offered, not only is the Messiah coming, but you and your wife Elizabeth, though she is barren, will be taken up into the plan of salvation as the parents of the forerunner of the Christ.
So what is, you said his unbelief is astounding. Given that context, of course it is. What do we make of this? It's not a punishment. It's a sign. He says it's a sign.
Yes.
That he will not be able to speak.
Yes. Well, I think it's very important that we see that the Lord deals with his doubting, wayward people consistently. Throughout the Old Testament, you know, how many times did he make a promise to them? How many times did the children of Israel fall away? And how many times did he fail to keep his promise? Not once. And he never backed off of his promise or changed his mind, even though there was sin and unbelief and doubt in his people. And you see it here with Zechariah. So one could look at it and say, what a harsh judgment. For 9 months, he's unable to speak. To which I would counter and say, what a wonderful blessing. The Lord said, you and Elizabeth are going to be the parents of the forerunner of the Christ. Zechariah doesn't believe it, but the Lord doesn't change his mind. He's going to keep his word, and he's going to keep his word of grace to you and to me, Todd, and finally, and to all sinners who, in contrition and repentance, come to faith and claim the promises of God. He keeps his promise in spite of our weakness, in spite of our doubts, in spite of our unbelief, and that is good news. And that's what Zechariah then sings about in his great Benedictus. He's given 9 months to meditate upon the word of God that he didn't believe, and by the grace and spirit of God, it then erupts out of him in this wonderful confession of faith in the gospel, and he underscores that same theme of how faithful the Lord is to his promises, and it's a faithfulness of the Lord, not on the basis of merit and works, but on the basis of his heart of grace.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're going to pick it up right there on the other side of the break. Before we get to Zacharias's song, his great confession of faith there at the birth of his son, is it right to contrast his unbelief with Mary's belief? Luke appears to want to do this. He appears to want to set them side by side. If so, how should we rightly contrast them? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. We're talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. The church is remembering them on this day as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Do you you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Male and female is not a bad thing. Sex making babies is not a bad thing. Marriage is not a bad thing. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with building society around those truths.
With Joel Osteen, it's very palatable, and I think that's why the subtlety of it makes it more dangerous.
God knows how glorious he is. God knows how strong and powerful and mighty he is. And it's important for us to know that. But ultimately, the purpose of coming together for holy worship is really for our own benefit. I mean, in a way, Victoria Osteen isn't completely and totally off in this regard.
It's just absolutely amazing to see how many churches across the denominational swath turned their churches into centers of religious entertainment.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You heard a little taste there of those four soundbites that we'll play for you. Then you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your vote will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Also, your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. We're talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. The church is remembering them on this fifth day of September. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. He is also a 1987 graduate of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they form servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Now, if you're listening to someone like Pastor Bender and you think, I have to have more of this. I want to learn this. I want to be able to speak the gospel in these clear terms like Pastor Peter Bender does. And that means you're probably considering the vocation of pastor yourself. Contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155 or visit them on the web at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, before we were talking about Zacharias' unbelief, and I wonder before we get into his confession of faith, as you called it before the break, is it right for us to contrast his unbelief in response to the angel's word with Mary's belief in response to the same angel's word?
Now, I think absolutely so. And we see there the ministry of angels. You know, we have the St. Michael and All Angels coming up on the 29th of September. And in the collect for that day, it speaks about how God has ordained and consecrated the ministry of men and angels in a wonderful order. And it's essentially the same ministry. The ministry is about the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the proclamation of the gospel. And when Gabriel appears to Zechariah, he is announcing the very absolution that for which Zechariah was praying. And when he appears to Mary, he is announcing the absolution to her when he says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You found favor with God." No wonder then, by that absolution through which Mary is declared righteous, she is then made worthy, not by her goodness or works, but by God's own absolution proclaimed to her through Gabriel to be the mother of the Son of God. And on the one hand, Zechariah doubts Gabriel's word, but the Lord still keeps his promise. On the other hand, Mary receives that word and says, "Let it be to me according to your word." But in both cases, it's a word of grace to the lowly, to the unworthy, and it's that word of grace received by faith through which we are all justified, Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, and Mary, the mother of our Lord.
Let's talk a bit about the song of Zechariah that follows there, which has embedded itself into the life of the church in one of our prayer offices. And is, it's just also another parallel that we can find with Mary's Magnificat. But what would you say of Zechariah's song?
Oh, there's just so much loveliness here. You know, those prayer offices that you allude to, and the Benedictus is used in the Matins office, they begin with the words from Psalm 51, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." And those words that begin the prayer offices are from Psalm 51, David's psalm, which, when you know the context of the psalm, makes the comfort and those words that much more powerful, because that Psalm 51 was prayed by David after Nathan had confronted him and brought about repentance in him through the word of the Lord because of his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite, her husband. And David prays, "You know, I've sinned against you, and against you only have I sinned." And then a little later on in the psalm, he says, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." And it's the "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me, restore to me the joy of your salvation, then will I teach transgressors your ways." So how does the Lord open our lips to proclaim the praises of his wondrous grace? But by forgiving our sin. And so Zechariah's lips are open, and the ultimate sign to which that muteness and then the opening of the lips points is the sign that this sinner was forgiven and received forgiveness, and his mouth is opened up by the word of the Lord, and he sings this wonderful song of praise for the Lord's salvation. So the connection with David and Psalm 51, and then you have another example of it in Zechariah's mouth being opened by the Lord's forgiving word.
That song is about God remembering his promises, the promises to Abraham.
Yes.
It's about the covenant. The first thing we should probably note is that now, in contrast to his unbelief, as you said before, Zacharias totally gets what God is doing here.
You see the certainty of faith that erupts in this hymn. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." That's how faith in the Lord's word speaks. It is as if Jesus has already been born, suffered, died, risen from the dead. He has visited and redeemed his people. It's past tense. It is done. It is accomplished. Because when God speaks, it is so. And that's what Zechariah learned to believe, which we all need to learn to believe again and again. And then the horn of salvation he's raised up in the house of his servant David, whose own lips were opened by the Lord's forgiving word. And then it all rests upon the promise, you know, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. I mean, he has been promising forgiveness of sins, life and salvation in his Son since before the world began. and that we should be saved, rescued from the enemies of sin, death, and hell, delivered from all who hate the gospel, all who hate God. He came to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. And what was that oath? That we should be delivered from the hand of our enemies to worship him without fear in the holiness and righteousness that only God can give all the days of our lives. And then, so that's the song of praise, that God has done what he said for our salvation. He's redeemed us with the blood of his Son. Even though Jesus hasn't died yet, it is as good as done. And then the canticle shifts to speaking about the ministry of this baby John himself. You, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, the one who speaks the Father's word. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. And look at how it speaks. The heart of it is to give salvation to his people by the remission of their sins.
So, Pastor Bender, that really means that it's come back around full circle, because you said at the beginning, this is what Zacharias is doing there in the temple, according to his priestly duty.
Yep.
Is he is making this confession of sins, and he's there to deliver that absolution. And I wonder, I don't want to read too much into what Luke is intending by juxtaposing these things there, but it's almost as though the absolution he could not pronounce there as he came out of the temple, because he'd been rendered mute by the angel.
Yes.
Now he can pronounce it in an even more full way, even more fulfilled way, through this song.
No, I think that's exactly so. And look at what this really resulted in. I mean, we don't know exactly where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. They were close to Jerusalem. They were in Judea, a village there someplace, because that's where Mary comes from Galilee to visit her cousin Elizabeth when Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John. The rumors, the murmuring about what happened to the priest Zacharias, did you hear what happened to him? He was struck mute. They concluded he'd seen some vision of the Lord in the temple. Then when the child is born, and when he affirms the choice of the name John, which means the Lord is gracious, he had been a recipient of that graciousness. And then when he sings this song, no wonder it says in Luke, fear came upon all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And I'm convinced this is one of the reasons why Simeon, later on in Luke chapter 2, knows that the birth of Messiah, his coming into the world, is at the threshold. It's about to be there, because the forerunner has been born. Simeon was a devout man, studied the scriptures, and when he hears these reports, and when the priest Zacharias, whom Simeon would have known, erupts with this song, this is how the Holy Spirit reveals to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then, of course, later you will have the shepherds who are reporting what they have seen. And every one of those reports agrees with the prophetic scriptures and the plan of salvation and the unfolding of that according to the scriptures.
Elizabeth appears one more time, and that is in what we usually call the visitation, where Mary now conceived of the Messiah, and Elizabeth now kind of in the intermediate period here between her conception and John's birth, she's conceived of the forerunner of the Messiah. They meet together. With a few minutes here, what would you say of that particular encounter?
Well, it's such a lovely encounter. When Mary comes to the door, she, I'm assuming it's a door or a tent or something. It says that when she greeted Elizabeth, the babe leapt in Elizabeth's womb for joy. The greeting that Mary gives to her cousin Elizabeth is not, howdy, Elizabeth, how's it going, but is the very Magnificat itself. Luke seems to do that with Zechariah's song. When Zechariah's mouth is open, he praises God in verse 64. We then, in verse 68, find out what that praise of God was. So also, Luke doesn't interrupt the narrative by saying, by quoting the greeting, but lets it flow with great intensity to a climax. You know, she greeted and she was filled with the Holy Spirit by that greeting. The greeting of Mary in the Magnificat is how Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We never want to separate the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so then Elizabeth speaks back. Her lips, even though she wasn't struck mute, her lips confess the faith that was in her heart and was strengthened in her heart by Mary's Magnificat. And she says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so it becomes, you know, in our Schmalkald articles in the Lutheran Confession, Luther talks about how rich God is in his mercy, coming to us in baptism and the preaching of the gospel and the Lord's Supper and so forth. And then he adds the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. Well, here you have two sisters in the faith mutually strengthening, comforting and consoling one another with the Lord's word. Elizabeth believed that word before Mary came to her, but then Mary comes to her, and that word which she believed is only reinforced by the word that Mary spoke to her. Also, Mary comes. She believed Gabriel's message, "Let it be to me according to your word." But when Elizabeth receives Mary, that is of encouragement and strength to Mary also as she speaks the Lord's word back to her. So it's a wonderful way in which faith, you know, is living and breathing in and out the word of the gospel by which faith is both created and strengthened, and then that to which faith believes and clings.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Folks, the Concordia Catechetical Academy produces some excellent Christ-centered, cross-focused resources. I encourage you to go find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Peter, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, Todd. It's always a privilege.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back on this Friday afternoon, September the 5th, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's the simple game that we like to play with you. We play four soundbites for you, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.